of Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen with you. Bill Bush had to check out. He's doing a speech at 9 a.m. in Central City.
Yeah.
Hour 3 sponsored by our friends at NEBCO. Now the hiring co- at Ready Mixed Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. We are joined, as always, by Husker Alliance, Sean Kelly. And Sean, good morning. We are one day away from kickoff. Nebraska, Cincinnati tomorrow in Arrowhead Stadium. I'm curious, we heard from Matt Rhule yesterday. Anything that came from that was eye-opening to you in his final appearance before Nebraska plays tomorrow, Sean?
Oh, just kind of his clarity on the black shirt process and you know, announcing the initial 10, and it sounds like we might get an 11th black shirt between Keona Davis and Jalen George. No real surprise to me that Kyle Cunanan is going to be the kicker.
Okay.
Look, Mike Eckler brought in two guys. Archie Wilson and Kyle Cunanan, and those are going to be the two starting specialists. So that shouldn't be a surprise. I know John Hall had a good year last year, but they clearly brought in Cunanan. They like the way he strikes the ball.
Okay.
So he'll get his first go at it. And, you know, it's going to be a long, long wait now. The team will get on those buses, leave at 1 o'clock, hit Arrowhead Stadium at 4, and then, you know, from there, kind of have a lot of time to wait. They're going to go see the movie Superman tonight, I guess, and have a walkthrough at a local high school tomorrow as well. As 8 o'clock, it doesn't get any, it's rare to play a game that late in the central time zone, so a lot of time till 8 o'clock now.
There's a lot of facts that you have in your head, Sean, that I want you to bring to the air. One is, what is the stat you told me the other day about Nebraska in openers against Power 4 competition?
So they have not won a Power 4 opening game of the season, a season opener, since 03. That was the Oklahoma State game with Les Miles and Mike Gundy, and they were a ranked Oklahoma State team. Nebraska is 0-6 since that Okie State game and Power 4 openers. And the Colorado game, I count as a Power 4 opener from 2018 because that was the opener, even though the Akron game was the opener, and they got a kickoff in before they pulled the plug and never played the game. So they've played six of them, and I count BYU in that group now too because I look at them as a not your typical pay a team to come in and get a win type of game, and BYU was a good team. So they're 0-6 in those games since 2003.
Good stat, Sean.
Yeah, it's a good stat. We had Mo Egger on the show last week from Cincinnati. He says he thinks there's like nobody at all coming for the Bearcats fan base. Nobody.
I talked to Mo yesterday again.
Was it an update?
I talked to Mo yesterday again, Sean, and he said he still has not talked to and he means it. He's not joking around. From Cincinnati, who's going to the game, does that surprise you?
Yeah, Cincinnati's kind of in a pickle. Like, they wanted this game, obviously, in Lucas Oil Stadium. And, guys, I think it would have been, like, half full there. I don't think it would have been a good showing. On a Thursday night, Lucas Oil, because you cut the Nebraska number in half, maybe 20, 25,000 versus 60, 65,000. Like, Indianapolis is not easy to get to, especially on a Thursday. So you wouldn't have near the Nebraska fans if this game was out there. And then it doesn't feel like there's a lot of Cincinnati fans too fired up to go either.
Nope.
So I think they made the right business move. But, yeah, this is going to be louder than Memorial Stadium. It really is.
Because
this is not your traditional game day SAC crowd where, you know, the longtime season ticket holders that have had tickets for 50 years get the good seats. Anybody that wanted to pay the money and get on – Master had access to get the good seats. So you're going to get probably more of a younger drinking type crowd in the stadium. And it's going to be a lot. And the tailgating is obviously going to be 4.5 hours long in the parking lot before the game starts. So it's going to be one of the more unique environments I think we've seen with Nebraska fans where they're going to have, you know, more of a younger kind of feel probably in the lower bowl. as well as the students will have seats down there, and then in the tailgating scene leading into the game.
So my Sean Kelly and Sean K, go back. Your stat is concerning about the Power Four opponents starting off the season. That's rough. So I'm curious, if Dylan is the most important person in this game for Nebraska to get the win, is there a clear second most important person that needs to have a great game to you for Nebraska?
The interior, well, both interior lines. Okay. O-line, obviously, with the Corleone matchup they're going to have, but the D-line. Because you know what plan is probably going to be for Cincinnati. They're gonna try to chunk at that interior Nebraska D-line and see if they can get those consistent 4 to 5 yard gains with the running backs. And Sorsby is a big runner, 235 pounds. And if they're third in shorts, he's going to be able to pick a lot of those up if he wants to run for them. So I do think the early down defense is going to be critical for Nebraska to get it into a situation where you could dial something up on third down.
Yeah, because I think that could be Nebraska's strength, Sean, the athleticism of the linebackers, the blitzing from the linebacker position. The question I wanted to ask you is going back to what you said about what Rule's meeting with reporters yesterday. The dynamic of they're choosing between Jalen George and Keona Davis for that final black shirt. Talk to me about Jalen George. Sean, Jalen George was not – remember when he came from the portal? We didn't make a big deal out of Jalen George. Discuss the evolution of Jalen George.
Yeah, when you sign portal guys, there's kind of Williams, Winery, Desan McCullough type guys that you know are big money acquisitions. And there's guys like this or Gabe Moore where, yeah, okay, maybe it'll work out, maybe he won't, but – I was immediately, when I looked at George, he played a lot of snaps. He was an all-conference player. And when you recruit the smaller conference guys, that you look for that. You look for production. You look for their track record. And versus sometimes you can take a Power 4 guy that was once a highly touted recruit that has no production. And then you're kind of hoping that maybe you can figure out why he didn't pan out at that other school. But a lot of times as Coach Bush would know, it's not that easy. There's usually a reason why they leave that school. Well, George is a productive player, and now he's been able to be at Nebraska since January, and he's gained good weight. He's trained. He's never had access to the resources he's had here. So I think he's come on and developed his body up to 290, 295 now. And I do think he has been a pleasant surprise to the point where Keona Davis arguably – one of the prettiest players off the bus for Nebraska, and him are battling it out for a black shirt.
Yeah, interesting.
Sean, I'm curious, in terms of this game, in terms of game plan for Dana Holgorsen, do you expect to see a balanced attack offensively with rushing and passing, or do you see lean more towards pass or run? What do you expect to see from Holgorsen's offense tomorrow?
It's always tricky because I'm sure it depends on how Cincinnati plays Nebraska and what they dictate the call. If they're going to load it up and try to stop the run, they're going to play the numbers probably and hit the short, quick passes. So a lot of it is probably driven by Cincinnati. But I think you want to be as close to 50-50 as you can with this offense. And I'm really interested, though, in the quick passing game, the timing of it, how it looks, if they hit those blocks on the perimeter to set up some of the things that Dana wants to do with this offense. Because we know that was a problem a year ago. They just weren't a very good perimeter blocking team. So what does that look like in game one? They've had a long camp. I mean, we've heard this now multiple times that this has been the longest camp ever in terms of just having so much practice time to get themselves ready for this game. And they started it back in July when they kicked off camp. So they've had a lot of time to get to this point. And now, as Dana said, we just got to go play somebody and see what it looks like.
Okay, speaking of that, okay, we've made it pretty far into this interview without talking about the left tackle position at all. Mm-hmm. Gunnar Gatula of Lincoln Southeast, who's a sophomore now, started 9 games last year. Gunnar could be the starter at left tackle, or Pritchett, Elijah Pritchett, the Alabama transfer, the Ballyhooed transfer. Who's starting, Sean? Who's starting at left tackle?
They've played this one close to the vest. Everybody has, and even the people we know and talk to. I still would not be surprised if it's Pritchett. I know they've kind of tried to lead us off that trail, that it's not him, but I still wouldn't be shocked at all if it's him. I think how his week goes, how he prepares the last few days will probably play a factor. The good news is they got two good options. They got last year's left. I mean, think about it like this. They basically have three guys that have started left tackle on this roster. Turner Corcoran was a left tackle starter. Gunnar Gatula replaced him, started left tackle.
Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. Let's be real. It's really hard to get flavor when you're trying to eat healthy, right? Good news for you. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day with flavor as well. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. Plus, no added sugar. They're just fruit as nature intended. 80 calories per cup, great source of fiber, and one of the highest fiber berries in general. These are also at Costco, Kroger, Winco. Once again, they're naturally low in sugar, high in fiber, and support gut health, blood sugar balance, and overall wellness. Whether you're trying to clean up your snacks or build better meals, these berries are a total win. Do you want to discover new ways to use American frozen raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine today. And remember, look for product of the U.S. on the bag.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with three Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Teddy Prochaska has been a left tackle starter. And now you've got the situation here with Elijah Pritchett, who's played left and right tackle. I mean, Dave Holgerson said, he's like, I've never actually been a part of a team where we've had this many tackle options. And, you know, the data backs that up. I mean, seven of these eight linemen have started, of the top eight, have started Power Four schools in the SEC, the Big Ten, or Notre Dame. So they've got a really, really good group, and they have the flexibility, I think, too, to make a change in a game if something's not going right.
Sean, who's I'm going to ask you an interesting, simple question. Who's Nebraska's best offensive lineman?
Man, I probably lean towards Rocco Spindler.
Whoa.
Because, I mean, multi-year starter, played in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in terms of being prospect-wise, it's Elijah Pritchett. Elijah Pritchett might be the best draft prospect on this roster right now, today. Wow. Like, in terms of, if an NFL scout came to Nebraska and just eyeballed the team and looked at the players they had, I think Pritchett would be the guy the scouts would be like, yeah, that's probably their best potential draft prospect.
Not Dylan.
Oh, again, I've not seen any first-round grades for Dylan yet.
Okay.
I mean, he's got to do it this year. I do think Dylan's up there for sure. But what I still think last year didn't show scouts enough. I mean, what was it, 13 and 11 touchdowns to picks last year?
Yeah, it was, Sean. Yep. You're right.
So, I mean, no scouts can be that's a first-rounder yet.
No,
he's
got to
prove
it.
He's got to prove it. I mean, I think Pritchett, that position generally is, you know, more of a first-round type deal when you talk about tackles and DNs. And for quarterbacks, you've got to have the whole package to fall up to that level. And you hope that this year is that type of year for Dylan Raiola.
Sean, there are always moments in every game where there's a quiet hush in the press box, more than normal, and a lean in to watch something closely. Is that the moment tomorrow night, Sean, when we see Archie Wilson's first ever punt with all the hubbub and buzz around him? Is that the moment we see the lean in from the press to watch what's happening and be very intent on the action, Sean?
Yeah, this is the most intrigued I think Nebraska fans have been with a punter that I can ever remember. And, you know, his story is unique. The situation with him at the podium I've never seen happen at Nebraska, where a player, international athlete, is, you know, kind of lost his, you know, got emotional being away from home, and his birthday was coming around the corner. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are excited. I'm interested how they use him. You know, one of the things I've heard is he'll hold the ball for a long time. He'll read the rush, and you know, he is not afraid to hold that ball an extra second or two if he knows they're not rushing, to let his people get down there.
That's going to make me nervous.
Same here. So you will be watching.
Well, they're rolling out to the right or the left so they can kind of hold the ball a little bit longer, too. I mean, I think the whole design of this scheme, you're going to see Nebraska's coverage units be down there. And, you know, Iowa did that. I mean, look, think about Iowa last year. I mean, they caused Garcia Castaneda to muff that punt that turned the whole game because all their guys are right around him as he's. So I think you'll see Nebraska's coverage units get down the field and make it near impossible for Cincinnati to get good returns.
Impossible question to answer for you, but I'm going to do it anyway. I think we all agree special teams will be better. How much better do you think we'll see special teams this year?
Well, the kicking was fine last year. I mean, Hull was good down the stretch, but I still think Cunanan will give them a more consistent option. The snapping is going to be better. That was a big problem last year, as you know. The yeah. operation of the kicking game and the punting game, for that matter. 10 block kicks and punts. So it can only be better than what we saw a year ago. And then the punting, it's different than what, you know, they had good punting last year at times, but I just think the unknown factors, the directional factors that Wilson can bring to the table make it highly unique, where he can punt left and right foot equally as well, which is just not the norm other than Jackson Ross at Tennessee, who was also a Mike Eckler recruit from Pro Kick Australia.
30-yard line and in on field goals seems to be – they feel good about that. Isn't the – I mean, I'm just as a statement more than a question. Isn't the acid test more about 40 yards and out? You know, a 40-yard field goal and out. Isn't that – is that what we're talking about now? They got to prove they can hit that.
I like to use the 25-yard line on in, which is a 42-yard kick on in.
Okay.
You know, because you have 7 yards. Some people have eight yards for the distance. And, you know, so a 42-yard kick on in is kind of, to me, where you've got to see a good percentage. 42 to 52 or 42 to 55, as we know, is a lot harder at the college level. Not the pro level, but the college level it is. So that will be something just to gauge, like how confident are they once they get in the 25 to take the three? Because as we know, the last couple of years, they've been more inept to go for it on fourth down a lot. Just knowing the situation, the inconsistencies they had with the snapper, not just the kicking stuff, but the snapper was a big problem last year as far as the kicks go.
Sean, I've been curious. We mentioned, again, not many fans going from Cincinnati, but I haven't seen anybody in picks pick the Bearcats anywhere. It's been all Nebraska. 6.5. They're not a 20-point favorite. They're a 6.5-point favorite. Like, is there part of you that thinks that people are just overlooking Cincinnati and that this is just a given for Nebraska? Because I don't feel that way at all on my end.
Yeah, I've not seen. I'm with you, Jake. I've not seen one pick for the Bearcats anywhere.
None.
Not one. Wow. And I'm sure people scour that pretty hard. But I just think the home field advantage situation, the crowd noise for an opener. I just think, and then look, the Big Ten in general is just a better league than the Big 12 in terms of the quality of player top to bottom on the roster.
It is.
You can't deny that. I get that Arizona State pushed Texas, and that was kind of one of those type of situations that can happen. But look at Colorado last year. That was a 9-3 Big 12 team, and Nebraska dominated them up front.
Sean, always good stuff. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We will chat with you again next week.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Husker Online, Sean Callahan.
Sean is jacked up. Sean.
Why wouldn't he be?
Well, I don't know.
He covers this for a living. It's his occupation, and we finally have a game to cover tomorrow. I would hope that Sean is jacked up or at least motivated for tomorrow.
I hope I am, too. Now, here's the deal. That discussion, the Big Ten is better than the Big 12. I don't know what you thought as you watched Kansas State, Iowa State. But that is exactly what I thought. If those are the top two teams, you know, those two teams are popular picks to win the Big 12. Those teams, I mean, they're pretty average-looking teams.
You don't forgive the rain situation up there, though. It was
tough
rain
in the second half.
That's when they scored more points in the second half. And you saw some offense actually happen.
I'm just telling you, the bodies I saw, the overall, no. Those teams wouldn't be even in contention in the Big Ten. Iowa State and Kansas State, not in contention.
So what if Iowa State beats Iowa week two, which
Iowa's going to be in contention, so I wouldn't say that's it, they're not on par with the Oregons and Ohio. Come on, what we're talking about is Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan to a certain degree.
Sure.
That's the top four. If those are if those are two of the top four in the Big 12, it's not even close.
It would be an odd look to see Ohio State lose to Iowa State.
Oh my God!
Or
Oh, my God.
I can't see that. Even with the new quarterback, they still have so much skill in that team. And Penn State the same way. I could see Iowa State beating Michigan, but that's why the top three
upset.
Teams. Upset. Like, I just can't see Penn State, Ohio State, or even Oregon losing to Iowa State. I could see the fourth team on and down.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. But I'm talking about the upper echelon.
I know. It's pointing out.
Yeah. I think it'd be a big upset Iowa State beating Michigan. I think it'd be a big upset. Now, big upsets relative, I'd say 7 points. Michigan's a 7-point favorite in that game, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm not down. I'm not denigrating the Big 12. As you know, I like that league a lot. Oh, I'd love to be in it.
Great memories of the Big 12.
Well, I'd love to be in it. I'd love to cover it.
Shorter drives. You can drive most places. Don't have to fly everywhere.
Nebraska's a much better cultural fit.
Yes.
But
it's a good spot to be. Big Ten is financially a better spot to be for Nebraska.
100. I'm not advocating that Nebraska go to the Big 12.
Like living better times sometimes, which it was in the Big 12. Before we get to break, I hope if you are one of the many has gotten Halo custom lights because of the show, that you have your red and white going for Nebraska.
Is that?
And I hope if they win tomorrow night that you can just keep them up throughout the night. Like, don't turn them off. Keep them on all night. You can do that. You have the power to keep them on all night long for the party.
That won't keep people
up. If you want to be like me and Bill and a variety of people in the city who have got the lights, HaloCustomLighting.com, an extension of Neiman and Sons. Check them out today. You won't regret it. Celebrate football season, right, and get ahead for the holidays as well with Halo Custom Lighting from Neiman and Sons. When we come back, we have not addressed it much, but a big storyline happened yesterday in the world of pop culture. How much will it distract the actual team that one person getting engaged plays for? That's up next on Early Break on the Ticket.